Hello again, everyone. This is Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network, and this is the Green Lines Podcast. Every one of these podcasts is produced to help you live an abundant life. Jesus said, "I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." I want that, don't you? The Lord has led us to produce over 1,100 episodes of this show with interviews from authors, pastors, teachers, business owners, and even noted musicians and worship leaders. All of this is done with a prayer and belief that we're not to live a life of scarcity. Let me say that again. We are not to live a life of scarcity. We're to live a life of abundance every day of our life. Live in abundance. That's what this show's about. And today's episode features a guest who offers a new perspective on abundant living. My guest today is Dr. Nicholas Pierce. He's been on our show before. He's a good man of God. He's also a pastor. He's got his doctorate degree in management. He's well-trained at Fuller Theological Seminary. He's just done so many. He's also got an engineering degree from MIT. So, you know, the guy is smart, and I like him because of that. He's just fun to talk to, knows a lot. But he's also going to talk to us about Faith Week, Faith Leaders Week specifically, coming up in June. But, you know, the core of this interview is about his book called Purpose Path. It's about finding that authentic life, finding your authentic work. That this is the season of the Great Resignation. You hear about it all the time. Massive layoffs and resignations and people trying to find their true self. I think this book would help you find your authentic life's work as it relates to the Lord and to you and your family, and making a move slowly, carefully, and advisedly instead of because the water's all stirred up in this season of the Great Resignation. So listen to Dr. Pierce. I think you'll learn a lot from him, either from the pastor or from the doctor. Both of them are well-informed. I think you're going to enjoy this, man. God bless you as you listen. Well, it's always an honor and privilege to welcome back Dr. Pierce from Chicago, from Northwestern University, and so many other parts of his career. We're going to talk about some good things again today. I just want to welcome you, sir, and really glad that you're back.
It's a delight to be with you. Thank you for having me.
So we might as well start with Easter. We just passed the weekend, and you spent a good bit of time in the pulpit and a good bit of time in the university and writing and helping businesses, and you just do a lot. So tell us about your church work over the past weekend and leading up to it, what you still have left in front of you. What did the Holy Week do for you?
Sure. Holy Week is always a busy time, but it's a blessed time because we work our way to the resurrection. And were it not for the resurrection, our Christian faith would be in vain. So it is a joy to be able to not only celebrate the resurrection, but to also walk that road from Palm Sunday to Calvary, through Gethsemane, through the upper room to the resurrection, to help our parishioners and God's people everywhere to have a greater appreciation for the cross, a greater appreciation for the shed blood of Christ. I think a lot of our churches are getting away from the cross. I think a lot of our churches are very much interested in the gifts of the Spirit, very much interested in what God can do for you, what God can give to you. And there's this kind of turnkey Christianity that overlooks the cross. It's a bloodless Christianity. And so this week gives us an opportunity to focus on those things that make our faith so profound.
Well, Pastor, we can't get too far away from resurrection because Christianity is the only religion that has their leader coming up from the dead with witnesses. That's one of the other unique things about it. There's no eyewitnesses to most of the other things that are being preached and taught in other books and other religion. But we have eyewitnesses of a resurrection. And, you know, it's just kind of hard to fight that off. And it may be why it endures.
I think that's right. It is difficult to refute the evidence. Many people try, but even those who refute the historical evidence, once they have a living encounter with the living Savior for themselves, they can't refute that.
Not a chance. And I don't think those who try really end up closer to God than when they started.
That's true.
They just, the more they find it, the closer they get, you know. And yeah, I heard it from scientists as well as law-minded types, you know, that you got to prove it to me first. Okay, if that's what you need. But, you know, it's going to get in your heart before it gets in your head.
That's right. It's faith. And sometimes the role that doubt plays in deepening our faith is a very important, but God works, as the saying goes, in mysterious ways. And so we're grateful to the Lord for all that God is doing.
Yes. Well, tell me about what's going on in cold and windy Chicago. It may not be windy today, but I know it's cold because I can read that thermometer. So what's happening in Chicago, in and around Northwestern and the university, and what are you all up to there at the college?
Well, we are looking forward to a warmer time in the month of June. In the month of June 2022, from the 13th through the 16th, we will be hosting once again Kellogg Faith Leaders Week. And this year's program is focusing on drafting the blueprint for post-pandemic faith communities. It's a program that is designed for pastors, for faith leaders of all denominations to come together to be equipped, to be inspired, and to be propelled forward to be able to do some of the planning that's required as leaders in complex institutions for a post-pandemic future. We are still in the pandemic, very much so, but at the same time, there is a call that we have to lead forward. And oftentimes our theological education gives us great tools to study the scriptures, to do the work of pastoral care, to be the preachers and teachers that we've been called to be. But oftentimes the leadership, absent the church administration class or two, the work of leadership is often a task for which the pastor has not been equipped. Gifted, perhaps, but not necessarily equipped. And so we are delighted to welcome pastors and leaders of faith communities of all sorts and all denominational backgrounds and reformations to come to Kellogg, where we specialize in equipping leaders of all types to do the hard work of leading complex organizations in a period of seemingly unprecedented uncertainty and volatility.
Well, the Kellogg School is well known for their training of leaders, entrepreneurs, executives in many fields in business. And I have so much respect for the faculty there. And this isn't just a show up and, you know, we'll pat you on the back and tell you a couple of good things. I mean, this is in depth. I mean, you're going to get after it, aren't you?
No question. One of the key challenges that we oftentimes will hear when it comes to having pastors on the campus of one of the top five business schools in the world is, are you going to be giving us business speak? Are you going to be giving us for-profit corporate chatter? And the reality is, I am the academic director of the program. I am a professor. I have a PhD in management and organizations. But at the same time, I'm a pastor. And I was called to ministry before I had a PhD in management. Right. What I recognize is that the two can peacefully not only coexist, but be complementary. The work of the kingdom involves organization. It involves human organizing. The early church was an effort in human organizing. And that's all modern organizations are. What they are going after, whether it's money or mission, well, that's a different story. But yes, the principles that guide successful, effective human organizing, those are the things we know at the Kellogg School of Management. And those are some of the lessons we are looking forward to sharing with our pastors. We've already had a number to sign up. We are excited about the denominational diversity that we're seeing. Good. We're seeing people from the Good. Evangelical world, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal. We even have Catholic brothers and sisters who are going to be joining us, right? And so we are very much looking forward to having an amazing time of study, an amazing time of equipping, an amazing time of fellowship.
I'm excited to hear that. And my answer to that question that they're asking you was, well, I sure hope so. If you're coming to Northwestern, sir, ma'am, I hope you're coming to hear some academic knowledge because we're going to have it for you. It'd be like going to a medical conference and asking, are you going to cover that medical stuff or is this going to be something about getting healed in the spirit?
Right.
You know, I hope it's both.
Exactly. I think people assume that because it's at a management school, that it must be at its core antithetical to the cause of the gospel or antithetical to religiosity or spirituality. And the reality is that's not true. No. Yes, there are some people who are money hungry and look at people as things. But I mean, if we're honest about it, some of that's at the church too. So that's not the direction we're going. But let's not paint a picture of the church as just this holy institution where there's no human frailty. Human frailty exists in the church. It exists in the corporate boardroom. What we're coming to do is not tell you 5 tips to grow your church overnight. We're not coming with church growth hacks and promises of prosperity. We're not coming with a bunch of talk that focuses on human definitions of success and fully ignores the work of the Spirit. Like, we want you to bring the Spirit with you.
Yes.
Bring your faith with you. Bring your brain too. That's all we're asking. We're not saying leave your faith in the parking lot, leave your soul in the parking lot. We're just saying bring your faith, bring your soul, but turn your brain on for a little bit in a way perhaps that you are not as accustomed to doing and see what God will do.
Evidently.
At that time.
Well, you know, brother, you've consulted, you're a PhD in management. You've had plenty of opportunities to walk in and help people. And I learned early in my consulting that sometimes I could impart it just through the Spirit. You could just pray for someone, lay hands on those books and get those accounts receivable moving, coming in. And other times you just have to teach. You just have to get down to, now, listen, if you don't send out bills, you're not going to get paid. You know, but God can move in either direction, just as he does medically. Sometimes the physicians are shocked that God moved. Sometimes the most God-fearing, God-believing physician is surprised that God didn't move and they go do surgery. You know, ours is to use whatever gift we have and move in faith that God's still controlling the hands of the physician or the business leader.
That's right. That's right. Nothing that we can talk about or will talk about in this executive development program is designed to supersede the work of the Spirit in the heart of the leader or in the heart of the congregation, right? This is saying, look, we recognize that sometimes God operates by miracle. Sometimes God operates by principle. And we don't need to pray for the miraculous when we can operate according to the principles of not only the Word of God, but the principles that we know fundamentally work in terms of organizing people.
But I still think it's all a miracle. If an ad works, I think it's a miracle.
That's true. God had to breathe on it. Let's be clear. God had to breathe on it.
To move a consumer today that is so fickle and doesn't know which end is up with this economy, whether to spend or to save or, you know, how to act. And we as business leaders are trying to figure out how to respond post-COVID or almost post-COVID. And here you are helping churches to think through it and church leaders where they must come in with their intellect revved up and looking to see what this restart is all about.
That's exactly right. We are very much desiring to serve leaders in the faith community because we recognize that faith communities are often bedrock pillars in community. And as we at Kellogg spend so much time supporting leaders in the for-profit sector and leaders in the not-for-profit sector, education, health and human services, public sector, et cetera, we recognize that there is tremendous value in faith leaders. And we want to make this experience available to as many as are willing to make the investment of time and energy. We even are able to make some partial scholarships available because we don't want the financial expense to be the sole barrier for a pastor to be able to take advantage of this convening. So we are very much interested in serving.
If a pastor's listening and they can't afford it, there's opportunities for scholarships.
Absolutely. You apply to the program. It's called Kellogg Faith Leaders Week. You indicate that you heard Professor Pierce with Dr. Green and that you would love to attend. You can get to Chicago. You can stay in the hotel. You can afford that. But perhaps some of the cost of the program may be a little bit prohibitive, and you'd like to explore opportunities for a partial scholarship. We do have a limited amount of funds available to provide to leaders who have need, right? And this is not leaders who just are trying to, you know, save a couple dollars in their seven-figure budget. We're talking about pastors and leaders who really do want to come and drink deeply.
Yeah, the small and medium-sized church, the 300 and under folks.
That's right.
Just wanting to learn and grow.
That's right.
That's who we love, you know. I love to see somebody that's trying to grow.
Absolutely. Trying to grow deep and trying to grow wide, right? Bigger is not always the only metric. Sometimes God wants us to grow deeper in our rootedness before our branches grow out wide.
That's right. Well, you know, I could talk with you for the rest of the afternoon just on this one topic, and we could explore it. But you wrote a book that I want to, I know you and I interviewed about this book over a year ago, but I want to revive it, revive our discussion on it, and once again ask our listeners to buy this book, because now is a great time for it. If there's ever been a better time for your book, Purpose Path, I don't know what it would have been. Not even when it was released, the authentic life's work. This is the period of the great resignation, Pastor. Maybe I should call you Dr. Pierce now since we're talking about your book. But brother, we've got a book here that addresses this great resignation in a very direct way, because so many people get themselves caught up in their career or their job or their occupation without ever stopping to consider, was this the authentic work that God had for me? Why don't you comment on that in your book, and I'll get nosy and ask some more questions in a minute.
Sure. Well, thank you for raising it. When I released The Purpose Path in April of 2019, who could have predicted that less than 1 year later, life would have fundamentally changed as we knew it? Yeah. Who would have been able to predict that not even 2 years later, we would find ourselves mired in what has been called the great resignation, the great reshuffling, the big quit, with people choosing to come off of autopilot and reclaim their talent, their time, and their gifting from workplaces and workspaces that were suboptimized.
And maybe their opportunity to be closer to the Lord because of it too. Let's not forget that. That's part of it.
No question. People saying their souls could not support being in a place that was not aligned with who they were, who they were called to be. People who were saying, look, I've had a career and perhaps it's been successful. Maybe I was in a job and it paid the bills, but I know I'm made for more. I was created on purpose with purpose, and I want to do whatever it takes to align my daily work with my life's work. So this whole conversation around the purpose path is as timely, if not even more timely, for those of us who are trying to come off of autopilot and live faithfully and live free, not just at church, but through our daily work every day.
Yes. Well, Dr. Pierce, let's talk to that one who is considering resignation. That, you know, it's not one, it's about a gabillion. There's just so many. I mean, you can't pick up any academic article or business magazine type article, less academic, but right on point, that there's a great dropout. And then when we went home and started living with our Zoom, and we found out, I ain't got to go to that office and put up with all that. I'm called for more. I mean, I want to be around people. I want to help people, but I want to be where I can make a difference. So talk about the great resignation as it affects the listeners now who are still struggling with, is it now, Lord? What do you have to say to them?
Yeah, I would say for those of you who are contemplating resigning, wait for a moment. Pause. Time out. I know it's very easy to get caught up in the flow of everyone resigning, everyone reshuffling, everyone moving from point A to point B. But I would say be still, look before you leap.
Yes.
A lot of the people are moving from point A to point B are happy in the moment, but 90 days later have buyer's remorse.
Yeah.
They were caught up in the frenzy of moving. They have the oops moment. Oh, now I can't reclaim the seniority I had, the social capital and relationships that I had, the ability to navigate the organization's politics that I had, because now I'm starting from scratch. Some people are living with regret. So I would say, if you're not done learning in your current role, pause for a moment. If you are just thinking the grass is greener on the other side, pause for a moment. If you're just feeling generally restless, pause for a moment, pray before you make the leap. For those of you who may be listening, who are saying, no, I'm not just anxious and nervous and restless, but I feel a stirring in my soul. I am being summoned. I'm being called like Lazarus out of the catacombs by name. And you're being called into a life that is in greater alignment with the calling that the Lord has for you, then I would say this may be a season to do that. But recognize that even then, the first step may not be quitting your job. The first step could be thinking about going to school.
Or a side gig.
Exactly. It could be a side gig. It could be looking for a different type of opportunity in your current workplace. Mm-hmm. Right. There are many ways to align your daily work with your life's work. And while a lot of people look at the glamour of quitting and reshuffling, resigning, doing this big leap.
There's no glamour in the quitting.
Yeah.
There's a lot of heartache.
There is a lot of heartache. And that's not being reported on in the same way that the tens of millions of people who are finally liberating themselves are being seen as just having unmitigated joy and happiness. There may be some who are called to quit. And I think in large measure, not only is this about people being called to quit, but it's a lot about people whose souls can no longer tolerate being suboptimized and being mistreated. This is as much about people finding where they belong as much as breaking up with places that are dehumanizing to their soul. Right. So, you know, I think a lot of people, it is time. It's been time. And you can overstay if you're not sensitive to the move of the Spirit.
Well, Pastor, the key word in your subhead, authentic life's work, is still authentic. And we can work and be authentic, or we can be unemployed and be authentic. But if God's in it, the authenticity will lead to the real calling. That sometimes you've got to be quiet and available. There's so many things I could say about the authentic self that shows up sometimes when you're away from the crowd of the job, when you're so caught up in the daily work and the task, you can't even consider what could be next.
That's right.
So you can't get to the authentic you. Now, you know about this better. You've researched it. You've written on it. You've studied it for a lot of your life's work. How does one become and find and seek that authentic self that God's trying to pull out of us?
Ultimately, it does require a bit of pausing, like you said. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, we want to come into greater alignment with who we have been created to be, who God has called us to be, but we want to continue doing what we were doing before. And anytime you look in the scriptures at anyone who's been called to a great work, even people like Moses, Jeremiah, or David, Jesus even, the Apostle Paul, anytime you see someone getting ready to embark upon a great work for the Lord, you see them enter into a season of preparation. You see them enter into a season of isolation. Whether it's Jesus in the wilderness, whether it's the children of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years before they inherit the promise, Paul in Arabia. You see time after time after time, God will put an individual into isolation, into relative obscurity, into darkness, into wilderness, where they may feel like they're wandering, but they're not being forsaken. They're being forged. Their character is being deepened. Their trust in God, their sense of understanding about themselves, their sense of commitment to the call. God has a way of getting our attention. And oftentimes we want to move through life in a microwave fashion, not recognizing the value of the wilderness. I mean, you talked earlier coming out of Resurrection Weekend about the gift of Easter and the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And oftentimes we celebrate Maundy Thursday or Good Friday. Certainly we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, but very few people pause to celebrate Saturday. But without Saturday, there's no Sunday, right? And oftentimes we will preach Friday, we will preach Sunday, and Saturday is like a day off. But Jesus was very dead on Saturday. Was in a grave by himself, wrapped up, right? Isolated, dark, pre-resurrection, but post-Calvary. And that's an important moment too.
Oh, that's the interval. There's so much interval teaching going on right now where we call it seasons. We can call it waiting upon the Lord. There's so many phrases in the Bible about it, but I know one thing. It is certainly a time, a chronos of God is to give us that season of waiting and hopefully waiting to get it forged more clearly, our intent to make a plan, to begin to think about, to write a little, to press in and pray more, all the things that a man ought to do in the interval.
That's right. That's why the word says to not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap if you faint not. If you don't faint during the in-between time.
Yeah. That's a big if, isn't it?
Exactly. You can't faint.
Especially when you're used to a paycheck.
Correct. And that's why I say...
A lot of folks don't count the cost.
That's right. A lot of people don't need to quit their jobs. And quite honestly, a lot of people can't afford to quit their jobs. I mean, let's be clear. If you've got, you know, a family, kids, mouths to feed, a mortgage to pay, a rent to pay, and you're looking at these people walk away from their jobs with no contingency plan, you're saying it would be irresponsible of you to just quit because greener pastures appear on the other side, right? Like, this is real life. No one is saying to be unwise, just be faithful. If God is giving it to you to do, then God will provide. If you just looked online and it looked like a good idea, but God didn't lead, that's not God's responsibility, right? God's responsibility is to provide for the vision that God provides. If you are going in alignment with the vision and the plan of God and in alignment with the word of God, having sought the safety that comes in the multitude of counsel, yes, if you have done those things in a way that honors the Lord, then you can say, Lord, see, I followed your word. But yes, you can't just go rogue and be an independent and then blame God when things fall through. I think we do have to be wise, and we have to temper some of this enthusiasm for moving and shifting and newness with the reality that sometimes God may be calling us to just be constant and consistent right where we are.
The worst time to make a move is when things are stirred up like they are. We don't really know what's happening with the economy, with war, with rumors of war, with so many other things that are going on. May not be a time for your personal resignation.
Correct. Or maybe it is, right? This is the thing. If God has given it to you, then you have to follow God. Yeah. And if your own thinking has given it to you, wait, right? Yes. The proverb is clear. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge, remember, center the Lord.
Come on.
And the Lord will direct your path. So if the Lord has brought this to you, then responding perhaps with resignation or something else is an act of faithfulness. If you're just looking out at the news headlines and saying, I don't want to be left out, you got a fear of missing out on the great resignation, and you go decide to do it yourself, that is leaning to your own understanding, right? Very different.
It is. So, Pastor, I'm going to put you on the spot right here in the fork of the road. You got a 35-year-old sitting across the desk from you, seeking counsel from his pastor and his professor. because he's sitting in front of you. He's got both. And he doesn't know which way to listen. How do you advise a young man who's got a job, providing for his family, doing okay, but Pastor, I can do so much more. I've got so many more gifts, and I just feel uneasy. I've got a gift that's all stirred up in me, and I'm ready to go. I want to go, but I just don't know. Do I listen to the Lord? Do I look at all these great opportunities I've got? I've got 3 or 4 job offers. And he comes to this pastor professor. With which part of your heart and your brain do you answer him? How do you give that answer, brother? There's your spot.
There's never a time when I have left my brain in the parking lot.
Come on.
I bring my brain with me into the church. I bring my brain with me into the pulpit. I'm no less a professor in the pulpit, but I also bring my soul with me into the classroom.
Yes.
I'm no less a pastor in the classroom. So what I would say to that student who's coming to me, if they're a tuition paying student, they have come to me in my capacity as a professor. Right. However, if they are coming to me for personal advice, what I will often ask is whether you are comfortable being pastored right now, or if you just want me to speak from the perspective of the science. If you want me to speak from the perspective of the science, then I can advise you that way. If you are coming to Nicholas Pierce for professorial, pastoral, human interaction, then my soul is going to shine through in a much brighter and much more direct way. And so if that student is saying, hey, I just feel restless, I feel itchy, I gotta go, I want to do more, I can be more, I can do more, I want to be successful, I'm going to pull them back and ask them some questions that are going to get them to look at their spiritual self in the mirror. And hopefully walk alongside them and discern what the Lord might be calling them to do, and more importantly, who the Lord may be calling them to be.
Yes. What I was going to suggest, knowing you as well as I do now after a few interviews, I'm going to suggest that the answer is probably the same. That you can't, because you can't separate you. That God made you fully and completely like you are, not for you to have a mask to walk into the classroom, put on a different mask to walk in the pulpit, and then a different mask at home. You don't have any mask. You don't need them. You're going to say the same thing regardless if they're in your home, they're in your church, or they're in your business.
Well, there is a degree of exercising wisdom as you have the conversation. Right. So the guidance that I may be feeling led to provide them will be the same. Mm-hmm. How it is packaged and communicate it.
That's a good word.
We'll have to be sensitively managed for the moment. I think we can operate with a spirit of wisdom and at the same time operate with a spirit that's sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Well, we're running out of time, and I want to do one more tag on Faith Leaders Week. Yeah, our discussion about your book. First of all, is your book for sale, Purpose Path?
Absolutely. The Purpose Path, A Guide to Pursuing Your Authentic Life's Work, is available in hardcover, paperback, ebook, audiobook, wherever you buy books.
Good. And why would this person pick the book up? What are they going to find in it?
For an individual who is wrestling with how to connect their daily work with their life's work, wrestling with how to connect their soul with their role, wrestling with questions of significance over success, this book is for you. I've had readers who have reached out to me over the last few years who have indicated they have given it to their fathers. They've given it to their children.
Wow.
They have actually done family reading groups intergenerationally to talk about some of the lessons that the elder generation has learned about purpose and investing that wisdom into their children and their children's children. So it's really a book for anyone, from the high school senior who's trying to figure out who they want to be and what they want to be when they grow up, all the way to the 70 or 80 or 90 something who may be retired, but is also trying to rewire and make sure that they can be as faithful and intentional with the years they have left in their life.
Well, we can find it at a Northwestern bookstore, I hope.
No question.
We can find it at Amazon.
Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Literally anywhere you buy books, you can find the Purpose Path.
Well, the good thing about buying it at Northwestern is they can come by your office and get you to sign it for them and pray indeed. For them at the same time.
That is indeed a possibility.
Faith Leaders Week. Give me the date again, brother.
the Faith Leaders Week program is going to be running downtown Chicago from June 13th through the 16th, 2022. You can learn more information at kell.gg/faith. So it's Kell.
One more time.
kell.gg/faith.
Okay. Well, I hope that we just have a packed out few days there for you, that you get to change a lot of lives, impact a lot of pastors, teach a lot of leadership. And at the same time, I bet they all grow in some relationships while they're there. They're going to meet some great people that are coming there to study. And that's one of the big advantages for sessions like these, I think, is who you stand next to, who you sit next to. They're going to learn a lot.
That's right. We are delighted to welcome pastors and faith leaders from around the world to our campus. And we are delighted to be able to partner with you, Dr. Green, to get the word out so that the kingdom might be enriched.
So let's close with a verse. Pastor, come on. Give us something that's on your heart, something that you studied in Devo this morning or yesterday, whenever. Just what verse is bubbling up in you today to share with our listeners?
I think it's very much in alignment with the conversation that we have had in the book of Romans, chapter number 8, verse number 28. For we know that all things work together for the good of them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, right? And this is simply telling us that no matter what the circumstances may look like, that God is at work through the things. The things may not all fall into place in the way that you want them to, but we do have the promise that God is still at work. And if God is at work, the story is not over.
Yeah. And we can find our authentic self, brother.
No question.
That's it. I want to thank you so much for pulling yourself away from your admin duties and all that you have going on there at Northwestern. Thanks for always being so ready to jump on the show and share with us. I love you and who you are. I'll be praying really strong for Faith Leaders Week. If you want to come back on the show and talk about it as we get closer to June, you're always welcome here. And I strongly encourage everyone to find Purpose Path, find it on Amazon, read this book. It'll rock you, or it'll keep you set right where you need to be.
That's right.
Whichever way you read it. Brother, thank you so much.
Thank you, my brother. God bless you.
God bless you. You've been listening to the Green Lines Podcast. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. On behalf of my producer, Adley, we like to close every show with a great verse that Jesus said, that he came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. I would just pray that all of your abundant living includes authentic living. As you've heard here with this great pastor, my friend now, I like to call him my friend because he's kind of like a smart guy and stuff. I like to have smart friends. Dr. Pierce, thank you again and God bless you.